Whoa, okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of DashPass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now, or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile, and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier and timely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Top of the hour is being brought to you by Northwestern Basketball, Chicago's Big Ten team. Coach Collins and the Cats host Minnesota for senior night on Sunday, March 6th at 6:30 p.m. Buy tickets now at nusports.com. Transition is being brought to you by Amy Kite of Keller Williams Realty Infinity. Saw Matt Spiegel around the building twice today, which is a good day for me. Saw Danny Parkins once today in the hallway.
Which is also a good day for you.
Also a good day for me. And now the boys are together, and they will take care of you leading up to Bulls Heat here on The Score. Hello, boys.
What's up, Lawrence? Spiegs? Saw you before the show.
I know. Lawrence texted me Saturday night because he was watching referee Mark Davis apparently embarrass himself in the late game on ABC. I don't know. He can't go lower on the Mark Davis rankings, I don't believe.
He's already in last.
He's already fifth.
He was doing the late whistle thing again.
Of course he was. Of course he was.
The late whistle.
What kind of garbage is that?
And the players are like, what the hell, man? What the hell is going on with you, Mark Davis?
I don't know who was reffing the Bulls game Saturday when I was there in the building and watching, but there were a couple late whistles that night, too. Some bad refereeing that night in the Bulls-Memphis game. Not at the end, though, when DeMar DeRozan was
heated,
stopped cleanly, and still exploded for his second technical and a walkaway ejection. I guess if you're going to go out.
It was a very frustrated man. Yeah, it's a good time to get ejected in that game. But no, I agree. That was not a terrible call there. You know, officiating's hard. It's hard to do.
I agree that it's hard.
I think it's very hard.
I didn't realize this about DeMar, that he's got a lot of techs this year. He's tied for ninth in the league in terms of the counting stats.
Another way he's like Kobe.
And there's a lot of stars in the top 10. It's like it's usually stars begging for what they perceive to be not star treatment, right?
And it's especially guys that are going as hard to the basket as DeMar does.
Well, it's interesting because Luka, Trae Young, Devin Booker, Embiid, Karl Anthony Towns. These are the other stars in the top 10. Number one makes me laugh in technical fouls in the NBA this year. It's Carmelo Anthony.
No! How is that possible? How is he getting enough run to do that?
You can get technicals from the bench.
That's
yes,
true.
He could.
Yelling at him.
I don't know what the specifics are. Isn't that great? I figure it's like, Yeah, no, Carmelo, I know you're playing more than you thought, but you don't get calls like it's 2011. You do not.
That's crazy.
But DeMar was number three in 2020. He was top 10 in 2019, both as a Spur. So the man's temper does come out when he does not think he is getting properly treated for the stature that he deserves.
He looked off for most of the night. And Speaks, you were there. So it looked like he couldn't quite find it. And then he found it. Like I would say that three-pointer, that felt like the moment where he was starting to find it again. And as he was trying to change the way the game went by going to the basket and trying to be proactive, you could see the frustration like starting to mount that he wasn't getting the calls, and then it all just fell apart. But I gotta know, man, like, I have not had the joy of watching Ja Morant up close. What was that like?
Yeah, that was my first time too. You can't take your eyes off that dude. And I told Danny this before the show. I don't believe that I saw one droplet of sweat from that guy all night long. And I was looking too, because we were not that far from behind the Memphis bench, and he got the leg wrapped at one point because, as you had told me, Danny, he took the bad step a couple nights before.
Yeah, the hip issue last whatever it was Thursday.
But that dude, there is a grace and a smoothness about every one of his movements, and a sense of control, whether it is on the floor or in the air. That dude, it is very, very special to watch him do absolutely everything on the court. There's not a wasted step there, and it doesn't even look like he's going that fast sometimes, but he is. But he is. And then the body control in the air is special. And I know that we thought a lot of things were special about him coming out of college. I don't know did people know that part of it? Like,
I think the thing with Ja was just, he's the next evolution of the powerful, athletic point guard, and he keeps adding to his game, but because he is a crazy athlete who is a basketball player. I get the sense watching Ja that he could be a cornerback or a running back.
He could be DeAndre Hopkins with elite hand-eye and perfect foot skills.
But he chose basketball, and he's amazing at it. And yeah, the body control is special, but like in a league of world-class athletes, he is also a cut above.
He stands out. And it's weird because you see the Derrick Rose comp, like that makes a lot of sense. You can see the ferocity of a Russell Westbrook in his game, but I feel like Ja like looked at Russ and was like, yeah, I want to do that, but I want to be in more control, and I want my game to be a little bit more well-rounded. It's like if it were possible for Russell Westbrook, Derrick Rose, and Allen Iverson to have a baby, it would be Ja Morant.
Yeah, there's definitely some Iverson there.
He's fearless. He's fearless like Iverson. Like, he is willing to put his body on the line, but the thing is that he's running past you.
But he's also
with the ball in his hand.
I don't know. Somebody can help me with this. Maybe you guys can help me. I don't know what other point guard or guard finishes on the way down as much as Ja does. Like, Ja doesn't, you know, Derek got good eventually at finishing at the top of his jump. So he was really maximizing the leap. Ja will finish at whatever part of his jump is appropriate to get an uncontested look. You know what I mean? He'll put it up quick. He'll put it up at the top of the leap, or he'll wait and wait and wait and somehow toss it up with perfect touch at the end in a way that does not feel comparable to anybody, frankly.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think that it's totally reasonable to say that, like, of those guys, and I think Iverson is a little different, right? Because Iverson was unbelievably skilled and everyone talked about Iverson as like pound for pound the best player in the league. But like Rose and Westbrook come into the league the same year and they completely changed the position.
Their strength, in addition to the leaping, is what made it special.
Yeah, they're the best athletes to ever play point guard, period. Like, they changed the way the position was looked at as like an athlete first attacker bulldozer type who, yeah, they're great passers and they could get their assist numbers, but they're scorers. They're killers at the position. These unbelievable athletes. Ja is the evolution of it.
But I didn't think Ja was going to be this kind of scorer in the league. Like, when I watched him dominate that NCAA tournament, I'm like, man, look, that is a graceful dude with an incredible amount of court vision, and he can finish, and that's really good. But I thought he was going to be like a special distributor, you know what I mean? Like, and maybe a team leader, but that was 46 without a drop of sweat.
Yeah, he's amazing. He's amazing. And, like, I don't think it's very disrespectful to Derek to say at 22, Ja Morant is better than Derek at 22. The stats are a little bit better for Ja. They're very close. But I look at it as, like, Ja Morant had to have watched Derek Rose videos. He had to have watched Russell Westbrook videos. Like, the game is just those guys moved the baton. Like, they just, you know, they changed how the position was looked at, and then it would make sense that the next version of it, the next iteration of it, would be, you know, would add to it. And when Ja Morant improves his 3-point shot by like 4 or 5%, he'll be the
unstoppable.
MVP.
Unstoppable.
He'll be unstoppable.
I mean, he has an argument. I mean, I know that people would never give it to him, but if you look at his numbers versus Derek's MVP numbers, like, he's right there. And unfortunately, Embiid is out here. Whew, goodness gracious. Did you guys watch them this weekend?
I did see them.
Oh, my God.
I got to tell you, I think Harden's presence is going to hurt Embiid's MVP candidacy.
I mean, he's still at 35 in that first game.
I know. But, like, but I mean, Harden is like, Embiid himself said, I've never been that open in my life.
It helps.
It's such a fun thing to watch those guys, those two guys run screen roll. Because there's nothing you can do with Embiid, and Harden is historically hard to guard. And when you get an opportunity to let Embiid run, it was almost, you know what it felt like to me, like, just to go with a cross sports like match here, it felt like a tight end that was no longer getting blocked at the line of scrimmage. Mm-hmm. It felt like, oh, you're going to let Gronk get a free release? Well, you know what's going to happen, right? That's going to end up being a touchdown. And that's what it is. Like, Joel Embiid is now getting a free release from the line of scrimmage, mm-hmm. and he's coming right down the lane to dunk on you.
Yeah, who is the who's the tackle that the 49ers put in motion?
Trent Williams.
Yeah, so when they put Trent Williams in motion, that's what Steven Adams looked like, attacking the rim as an offensive rebounder. That dude, Aquaman, I mean, that version of Jason Momoa, like, poor Vooch. Like, Vooch is
That
is
a bad matchup.
That is
There's a lot of them for him.
Yeah, there's kind of a lot of them for Vooch. It's just these days.
He's a bad matchup for a lot of people, too. Like, that's the trade-off with Vooch.
You're exactly right. That is the trade-off, and that's why you really miss a legit four standing next to Vooch in certain matchups. Like, Javonte Green is a terrific leaper and a wonderful motor, and I really like his instincts and like what he brings to a team, but somebody's got to put a giant ass on Steven Adams, Vooch.
If at some point Billy will play around with
Tristan
Vooch and Thompson together on the floor.
Well,
I'll be very surprised.
The one I wonder is the swap. Like, when Vooch came back into that game with 3.5 minutes left or whatever it was, I was watching. I was going, I don't like this. That was my thought. It was like, because Vooch had been off like crazy offensively all night long, and you knew they were going to go to the Ja and Steven Adams pick and roll if they got their chance, and Vooch was just, he had absolutely no chance to do anything with it.
So, Danny, let's try to figure out what the five could be to maximize. If you were going to do that, it's who's the other person on the floor? Because obviously it's going to be Zach and DeMar. So if you were to go Vooch and Thompson, how can you maximize scoring with that last bit if Thompson is on the floor?
Kobe.
Well, it would have to be.
And Kobe was in the finishing lineup Saturday.
Yeah, because you would need, you'd want, I mean, you'd have Vooch, I guess. Like,
you could play him out. Like, you could play him at the top of the key if
right.
you want it.
I mean, yeah, the first guy I was thinking of would be Kobe, just to help space the floor more and have another shooter out there. But, I mean, listen, you could you could do it. Billy Donovan doesn't traditionally play the two bigs, and that predates the Bulls. And then the Bulls are so guard and wing dominant. Like, they're getting Caruso back. They're getting Lonzo back.
Lonzo, the answer is actually Lonzo, right? Who is as good a spot-up three shooter, or a better spot-up three shooter than Kobe.
Yeah, and a better
passer.
Yeah, better passer.
And a better defender.
Better defensive player. Yeah, so when that happened. But I think that they got Tristan Thompson to
be 22 minutes.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, but I'm wondering, are there going to be moments where you say, you know what, this 4-minute stretch, I need both of them on the floor?
Maybe. I don't know. I think that it's going to be, I think that certainly in the postseason, the game slows down a bit. You could see a lot more like offense, defense substitutions late in games, like being willing to do that a little bit more.
Who plays two bigs these days, like true bigs? Because Memphis, when they have Adams and say Jaren Jackson out there, Jaren Jackson really isn't playing inside.
Yeah, you know? I think it's just the trade off with how the team is constructed. Like, you don't have a rim protector, you know, but Vooch. So Vooch has to be good offensively, and Vooch has been better defensively. Stacey King was giving him a lot of credit a couple of games ago.
I agree.
The effort's there, the contests on shots without fouling is there. His rebounding numbers have been great. He's just not physical. He's not a physical big.
And when you see him next to a legit physical big like Adams, who's just so wide.
Yeah, he's very strong.
Yeah, the shoulders are just freaking enormous. It's just very obvious.
And he's good. He's got great positioning, too.
Yeah, he does. And he's a quick leaper with a high motor. I wouldn't have banked on this kind of career for Steven Adams when I watched him in the early Oklahoma City days. I would have been wrong.
Yeah, I didn't give it a lot of thought back then.
That's fair.
But yeah, guys who are good at one or two things, if they just keep working on those one or two things and get great at it.
Luke Kennard is still slogging away as a three-point shooter in this league.
You can make a lot of money.
$100 million.
Yeah, exactly.
Make $100 million.
There was one guy in that game I was like, I turned to Christine and said, you know, people have been saying that Kyle Anderson is too slow to do his job as an NBA player since before he was drafted. And here he is still, what is he, in year 9 or something, Kyle Anderson? And he's not a point guard asked to trusted to run a team, but as like the Sean Livingston-esque tall guy with point guard thought processes.
Yeah.
Like, he's a really valuable piece for Memphis, for a really good team.
So let's go career earnings for Kyle Anderson.
Yeah, I'm going to guess $70 million.
You're high. $40 million. $42 million.
Okay.
Still great.
Still pretty nice life.
What a great gig.
What year is he in? Is it not 9 years? Maybe it's not that much.
Eight seasons.
Okay.
Eight seasons in. Free agent coming up. So Kyle Anderson going to get paid again. But yeah, his last deal was...
He will get paid too.
Yeah, it was 4 years and like $40 million or 38 million bucks.
So Pat Williams, as a texter points out, is next to Vooch often in those stretches if he comes back healthy and seems trustworthy again.
Yeah, I just don't know if he'll be in the finishing lineup either. But
yeah,
he's good.
Y'all been on this Pat Williams thing. I'm like, I'll see you next year, fam.
All right, so finishing lineup is Caruso, Ball, Zach, DeMar,
Vooch.
Yeah. If everybody's healthy.
Because
Caruso and Ball can both shoot enough.
You don't think Pat Williams is playing until next year, Lawrence?
I'm not counting on him. You guys have brought him up a couple of times when we talk in transition. I'm like, really? Like, is he close enough to matter for what you're hoping for the Bulls? Like, I look at it as, if he can help them, great. I'm not expecting a thing from him.
Yeah, I don't know how much of it is, like, expectation. Like, I've talked about him as, like, being an X factor and a wild card, because they don't, like, who is the comp for him on the current roster who plays? Like, a 6'9 dude with a 7-foot wingspan with plus athleticism who is a willing defensive player.
I feel better about him switching in the pick and roll than I do anybody else, any other big.
Yeah, so I just think that there's a chance that he's going to play just play good defense. Play good defense for as long as you can. I don't know if he's going to get 15 minutes a game. You know, I don't know how much they're going to use him, but I think that a former fourth overall pick, one of the youngest players in the NBA with that athletic profile, That guy just always matters if he is able to give you minutes. You know, there's always a, hey, we need you to try to slow down that wing over there. So
but having him, had him miss all of this time, like the idea that he's going to be able to walk in and do, because what is the most optimistic now, because now there's 20 games left, what's the most optimistic return for Patrick Williams?
There was a video that went by in Miami of him on the court doing some workouts. I don't know, maybe 12 games?
I'm sorry, I must interrupt this transition for the alert that I'm getting via text that, Danny, you said not raise the bar or pass the baton.
Oh, no.
But you said raised the baton.
I might have.
That would be an awesome addition.
I might have.
Danny,
at this point, Danny, are you just doing it on purpose?
R.I.P. Louis Anderson.
No.
He raised the baton like a... like a tremendous majorette.
Like, is there a bit inside the bit? Like,
there's no way to know.
Theater of the mind.
Yeah, who knows? Who knows? Maybe
I'm an idiot genius.
Like
I'm a genius.
Like Zubin Mehta and Ricardo Muti, Ja Morant raised the baton and began to conduct.
Who knows? Some
classical references for the eight people out there.
Until I hear it, I'm not even convinced I said it. Maybe
that's a good policy.
Maybe all of those texters are wrong.
Hey, it's a good policy. You need you're not here for hearsay, sir.
That's right.
You want actual evidence.
I want actual evidence.
2:15 on a Monday, baby.
I think it was before that. Yeah, I think the text is just coming in a little delayed on the old Odyssey app.
I think John did raise the baton. I think he absolutely did. And then he conducted a hell of a Beethoven 7th.
Whatever, man.
Killed it.
He could do it. We're talking about him in the NFL.
Yeah.
Why limit it?
Why limit yourself?
Yeah.
That's right.
So.
Go lead the halftime celebration at an HBCU.
You can be Peyton Manning.
Yeah. What? Huh?
Remember when Peyton Manning led the band?
Oh.
In Tennessee?
I forgot about that.
I do not remember that.
That was like a big, big deal.
That was a big deal.
Well, I mean, Danny, what were you, like 5? I think that was 98. So how old were you?
12.
Yeah, so
I was 12. I 5 in 98.
What are your thoughts on T. Martin's career at Tennessee, Danny?
T. Martin's turned himself into quite the coaching candidate. Now.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Still
out
there.
He's one of the Brady 6, right? Isn't he one of the Brady 6?
Oh, boy, I believe that is correct.
That's a good call.
Yeah. That's correct.
Who else?
Martin won a national championship.
Who else?
Were we naming Tennessee quarterbacks?
No.
Shula.
Was Seneca Wallace one of the Brady 6 as well?
Was it Seneca?
I thought so, but I could be wrong about that.
It was Doug's guy, too. Oh, Giovanni Carmazzi.
Yeah,
Chad Pennington, Carmazzi.
Spurgeon Win.
Spurgeon Win, yeah.
Spurgeon Win.
Mark Bulger.
That's who I'm thinking of, is Spurgeon
and T.
Win.
Martin.
Chris.
T. Martin. Redman. Good call on T. Martin, Lawrence.
Wow.
And I apologize to Spurgeon Win for confusing him with Seneca Wallace for a moment.
Kind of the same.
I'm glad you said that.
You guys are getting in trouble, but kind of the same. What are you going to do on the show today?
So much.
Who knows, Lawrence? Depending, based on how this is starting, I could say anything.
Well, I mean, if you just raise the baton, Danny.
Yeah. John Morosi, we know, is going to join us late in the show.
MLB on the precipice today.
After they conclude that they're not going to come to an agreement today?
Correct. John Morosi is tentatively scheduled for 3 hours from now, right now. We are going to be reacting to breaking news. We've all been reaching out to people. I think Shane had like 6 texts going with current MLB players. So we are, you know, we're circling around that story always. Speaks was at the UC for the Ja Morant experience. We got a lot more to get into on that and problems that other NFL teams have that we want the Bears to one day have. We'll get into that as well.
I like that.
Yeah.
That's good. Boys, have yourselves a show. I'm going to enjoy some of this nice weather.
All right. Enjoy.
Get out there, man.
Whoa. Okay. This one says you get a free phone if you switch. Hey, this one also says you get a free phone if you switch.
Yeah, they all do, hon.
Huh. The T-Mobile one says their customers had the lowest wireless bills versus the other big guys over the past 5 years. And their latest experience plans have Netflix included, plus a year of Dash Pass by DoorDash.
Mm-mm-mm. Hang on, let me see that. Oh, yeah, we're switching.
That's what I'm talking about. Do we clap now or...
At T-Mobile, get savings that keep stacking up. That's value you can feel every day. And right now, bring your phone to T-Mobile and we'll give you $400 when you switch.
Savings based on Harris X billing snapshots from Q3 2021 to Q4 2025 compared to average AT&T and Verizon bills. Comparison excludes discounts, credits, and optional charges. $400 with new account on qualifying line. Unlocked device credit ported 90 plus days with device and carrier entirely redemption required. Virtual MasterCard typically takes 14 weeks. No cash access and expires in 6 months. Card issued by Sunrise Banks N.A. Member FDIC. Visit T-Mobile.com.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat. A place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball. For the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Would you look at that? It's time for some of our favorite Snapple Real Facts. Real Fact 1433, toe wrestling is a competitive sport. Real Fact 732, the chicken is the closest living relative of the Tyrannosaurus Rex. And Real Fact 1599, a man once ate an entire airplane. Youch, did he have any hot sauce? Yeah, so anyways, this has been a refreshing break brought to you by Snapple. Real tea, real juice.
With Snap's, it's refreshing!